Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who has come into this world to reveal himself as Savior of all the world, to your fellow redeemed. Epiphany. This morning your bulletin tells us that that word means to make known, to show forth, to manifest, to appear. And all of those terms apply to our two scripture readings this morning and our sermon text. In our first reading, Isaiah prophesies that the Lord's glory will be known, will appear, not just to the Jews, but to Gentiles as well. And in our second reading, our gospel reading, we see the fulfillment of that as Jesus appeared to those wise men, the first Gentile Christians recorded in the New Testament. And throughout these next coming weeks of the Epiphany season, we'll see how Jesus again and again and again showed himself as God, the Son of God in human form. One man wrote, "During the Christmas season, we see how God appears as man in the person of Jesus Christ. And now during the Epiphany season, we see how this man, Jesus Christ, appears as God." Paul, in our text, begins by remembering how God, in his grace, took him from that unbelieving hater. He hated Christ, hated the message of Christ, tried to chase down Christians, and not only created faith in his heart, but called him to be an apostle. In his grace, he revealed to Paul this mystery that is unknown to many people, the mystery of the gospel, and then called him to be the revealer of that mystery to the Gentiles. What a humbling experience that was for Paul. And that's why he writes in our text, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul, realizing what he had been, looked upon himself as the lowest of the low, the least of the least, the most undeserving, the most unworthy. And when you and I are honest with ourselves, and we look into the mirror of the unchangeable law of God, we see how wretchedly sinful we are too. Now, we may not have fought against Christ by trying to destroy Christ or trying to destroy Christianity, but our sinful nature hates Jesus just as much as Paul's does or did. How our sinful flesh hates to be told that we're dead in our sins, that we're incapable of doing anything that could please God. Our sinful flesh chafes and becomes upset when God condemned us for the littlest of sinful thoughts, the littlest of naughty words, the littlest of sinful actions. Our pride is hurt when we're told that we're no better. In fact, we're the same as a murderer when we don't help our neighbor and love him as we should. We're the same as a rapist when we let lust in our hearts. We're the same as a thief when we're not content with what we have and we covet someone else's goods. We're the same as a drunkard or a glutton when we eat or drink to excess. Our sinful flesh rebels over the good news that says, Jesus is the only way to salvation. You can't save yourself. You can't do one smidgen to earn your salvation. Our sinful nature is irritated when we're told that we're depraved, spiritually dead and lost, without the Master, without the Lord, without our King. Because my sinful nature and yours wants to be the master of our lives, the Lord of all we possess, and the King of our domain. But when, like Paul, and his scales fall off his eyes, when that law condemns us and that gospel fills our hearts, then our lives are changed remarkably. That's why Paul was so amazed that what God would call such a miserable, wretched sinner like him to be an ambassador, a proclaimer of this mystery of the gospel, a mystery to many people. He's saying, what a privilege. What a privilege I have to proclaim this mystery to you, my brothers and my sisters in Ephesus. And taking from those words of Paul, I can say the same thing and do in our theme this morning. What a privilege I have to be your pastor. What a privilege to marvel with you at this great mystery of God. And what a privilege to share with you Christ's abundant riches and the manifold wisdom of God. The word mystery means something not revealed, something secret, something hidden. And there are many mysteries that have been revealed to us in God's Word. Bible truths which we would never ever know had not the Holy Spirit opened our hearts and implanted those words into our hearts. So a mystery from the Bible's sense is things that God alone only knows, but then reveals in His Word, that's given to us, and then God calls us who have learned those mysteries to reveal those same mysteries to other people. For example, in Christ, God the Father has revealed His great merciful love to all of mankind. That Jesus is God in human flesh and blood, the incarnate Son of God, is a mystery that's only revealed in the Scriptures. That God the Father loved mankind so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to be the only human God-man, to live a perfect life, which we couldn't do, to die the death we deserve to die, to save mankind. That's a mystery to most people, but it's been revealed to us through the gospel. And we'd have revealed that to other people. That mystery, that hidden secret, was revealed to Paul. And now Paul says, wow, what a privilege I have now for God to say to me, now you go and you reveal that mystery to the Gentiles. For God has revealed this mystery in Jesus. So what a privilege it is to marvel together with you, pastor and members, working together, reading the Word together, studying the Word together, to reveal to each other these glorious truths hidden to most of the world. This mystery has been revealed to the whole world to know. God doesn't want the Bible to be a hidden book, an unopened, not used book like it was back in Luther's day, back in the Middle Ages. A book that only the learned, only the clergy could read and dispense to the laity. Only the scholars could tell you what God's word says, and then they let people stray. He wants the word of God to be open to all people. He wants that mystery to be proclaimed by you, laity, by me as pastors, by every Christian, to all people. And he wants that word to be put in the hands of all people so they can read and study and hear the glorious good news that has been hidden for centuries to mankind. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he says, God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But did God have a plan to save all of mankind? Not just Israel? When you read in the Old Testament, it looks as if God only chose one nation, his people, the Israelites. But go further back. Go back to the beginning of time. Who received the first promise? Adam and Eve. There was no Jewish race. There was any race at that time. There was just a human race, humanity. God gave them the promise of salvation to give to everybody. It's not God's fault, but people didn't tell their neighbors or their friends or the next generation the good news of salvation. In the Old Testament, over and over again, we see hints that God wants this message, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well. When God came to Abraham and said, through you will the Savior be born, he said, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Not just Israel, but all nations. In Leviticus, when God refers to the foreigner, the one who has been, the proselyte who has been converted to believe in the Lord Jehovah, he calls him his people as well. Elijah went to the Gentile widow in Zarephath. Jonah proclaimed the good news to Nineveh. And Isaiah proclaims the gospel is going to spread to the isles and nations of this world. And the scripture reading says, the Gentiles will come to your light. But sad to say, throughout the Old Testament, precious few Gentiles came to the light of the gospel. Precious few Gentiles looked to the Lord Jehovah for their salvation and the Messiah was to come. They remained happy and content, worshiping their gods of stone and gold and silver and wood. And also sad to say, with little exception, the Old Testament Israelites didn't do too much evangelizing, very little effort in reaching out to the other nations as well. But now Paul says, what a difference. He says, the Gentiles are fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. If you would have asked Paul prior to his conversion, when he was that haughty Pharisee, haughty Jew, and said, what will you be doing later in your life? He would never have guessed that he'd be going out and proclaiming the good news of salvation to the Jehovah God and his son, the Messiah, to the Goyim, the heathen Gentiles. That would have made him sick to his stomach. It would have been repulsive to him prior to his conversion. But now Paul says, I rejoice. What a privilege for me to tell you Ephesians, many of them who were Gentiles as well as Jews, this good news, the mystery of Christ. And that's the privilege that we have today too. Secondly, we have the privilege also to share in Christ's unsearchable riches and the manifold wisdom of God. Paul writes, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What unsearchable riches? Well, one unsearchable riches that Jesus Christ, who is the eternal God, lived on this earth in time as a baby, a human being. Another unsearchable riches is that this all-powerful God, in weakness, allowed himself to be arrested, beaten, mocked, ridiculed, put on the cross. The eternal God allowed himself to be crucified and die upon the cross for you and for me. We can't fathom that. We can't comprehend that. We cannot understand how God, in the person of Jesus, could do what he did for you and for me. Yet you've been given riches beyond compare. Riches that no dollar amount of dollars could pay. Forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, peace with God, joy, perfect contentment, robes of righteousness, eternal life. And that's just the beginning of that list. Paul writes in verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. The word manifold is very interesting. It is a word that is used to describe flowers or multicolored cloth. It indicates a fantastic and variety of beauty and yet a simple, basic pattern. The more you look at that simple pattern, the more beautiful, the more varied it appears. What a privilege as your pastor to proclaim to you that simple, basic gospel message, which is yet not only basic, but beautiful. Which is not only simple, but fantastic. God so loved you, he took his Son, God the Son, to come in human flesh and blood, to take my place, your place, and sacrifice himself on the cross to pay for all of your guilt and my guilt so we could forever live with him in heaven. Wow. That's the manifold grace and wisdom of God. But notice what Paul says. He says, who is to proclaim that manifold grace of God? That simple, basic, yet beautiful and fantastic message? He says that it might be made known by the church. Who's the church? All believers in Christ. Not just pastors, not just teachers, but everybody. And notice, he says we're even to proclaim it to angels, to the principalities in heaven. Peter says that in his first epistle that the angels even long to look into these mysteries, and they rejoiced. When one sinner repents, angels in heaven rejoice. Imagine how happy heaven must be every day as the gospel is being spread around the world, and one by one by one by one, Gentiles or even Jews are being brought to faith in Christ, and the angels are rejoicing as another soul is brought out of the darkness of unbelief into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this gospel is not for the angels. They rejoice when they see people brought to faith. This gospel is for you. It's for me. God planned it. God fulfilled it. Somewhere along the line, he revealed it into your hearts. And now he proclaims it through you and through me. He didn't choose angels to do this proclaiming. He chose frail, fragile, jars of clay like you and me. No wonder Paul was so humbled. What a humbling revelation that is for us. Unworthy though we are, God removed unworthiness through his Son's sacrifice. And now through faith in him, we have boldness and confidence to come before him and approach our Heavenly Father, clothed in Christ's robe of righteousness, as if we too are perfect and holy as Christ is, because God looks upon us and says, you're righteous in my Son. Judgment Day is also a mystery to most of the world. They have no idea how the world's going to end. It's a mystery that's been revealed to us. And that's why we need to reveal the good news of Jesus Christ, so people aren't caught off guard on that last day of judgment. And they are revealed this secret of God's love for us in Christ Jesus. And not just to each other, but motivated by those unsearchable riches of Christ. And by that manifold wisdom, that very beauty of God's gospel message, May we be moved to go out and to proclaim that message to others. Now, God's message this morning, we heard the wise men fall before the baby Jesus and give them their gifts. They shared their wealth with the Lord Jesus. Well, we've been blessed with such spiritual wealth. May we share that wealth also to those whom we know and those whom we meet. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.